Hi.
Hi.
Let me see. You feeling better?
I am doing a lot better. Thank you.
That's good. Let me put some lipstick on real quick.
Look at you. You already look gorgeous.
That's what he said. No. All right. So before we get started, Debbie Lynn, I want to make sure that I have your authorization and consent to edit, record, and distribute this podcast on behalf of my company, ALM Enterprises, for the podcast On the Edge with April Mahoney. All rights reserved, and the interview is being completed. Is that okay?
Yes.
Thank you, ma'am. So we are going to talk about. Do you want to talk about grief recovery and then and the for the getting the return for the money on the foreclosure? How do I say that?
Sure. Yeah, refund overages.
Okay. And do you want to talk about grief recovery?
Sure.
Anything else?
No, that's probably good.
What about the, don't you do something in the beauty industry?
Oh, I do. Yeah, I do skincare with Urban Retreat.
Okay. Look at that. We both have hearts. I love it. All right. So before we get started, I just want to gather a little space with you, make sure that we have some synchronicity, that we have some peace upon our hearts, that our words come out clear and concise, that they land upon ears that need to hear it, inside hearts that need to feel it, and upon hands that need to. That's a virtual hug from me to you. Somewhere
Thank
during
you.
the course of the interview, just refer to the listeners as brains. They like that. Where are you at again, Debbie Lynn?
I'm in Texas,
What part?
Dallas Fort Worth area.
Dallas, Fort Worth. All right. Here we go. Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney, brains. You're back at your favorite spot. The best podcast on the planet. The place where the conversations are pointed and the guests are sharp, the responses are never dull. We're going to Texas, brains. Oh, yes. Dallas, Fort Worth area. You know, down there by them cowboys. We're going to be with Debbie Lynn. Debbie's going to give us some very interesting information with regards to refund overages. When you do is escrow or when you sell a property, let me make sure that I'm saying this correctly.
It's refund recovery specialist, and it's for properties that have been foreclosed upon.
Oh, so see, a lot of times brains, people think, oh my God, I've lost my house and I have nothing. But there are fees that could be associated with that that you could get a little kickback from. So we're going to talk to Debbie about that. Also, a very tender situation about grief recovery. She knows a little bit about that and she's been able to overcome and adapt. So let's welcome her to the edge. How are you today, Debbie Lynn?
I'm great, and I'm so happy to be here with you and all the brains out there. Thank you.
Yeah, well, I'm glad to have you. Tell us a little bit about you and how you show up on the planet.
Well, I am a child of seven. There were seven in my family. I have six grandkids, and I basically look at each day as a gift. I want to make the most of it every single day. And that's the way I look at life, and that's how I show up.
Well, that's a beautiful thing because people don't take full-on advantage of the moment. Life is so precious. And, it's like every time I turn around, when I turn 61, I got to thinking about how many people I've lost. But the scary part about it was that I looked at a photograph of my family and I'm of my, birth family, I'm the only one left in it. So we don't take that, we can't take that for granted. You're one of seven. How was that in the pecking order? I bet that was a lot of fun sometimes.
Yeah, we had our own baseball team. There were five boys and two girls, and I was the oldest. So I pretty much, the first four of us were a year apart. And so I pretty much was the somewhat caregiver because my dad was in the military and we moved around a great deal.
Ooh, seven kids. I know we're a military family too, but seven kids moving, that's a whole lot of family. You had a lot of responsibility too, didn't you?
Yes, a lot of responsibility. Dad was gone sometimes a year at a time. And so, mom couldn't do everything by herself. So I pretty much grew up very quickly and, helped take care of my brothers and sisters and cousins. And that was just the way it was.
But now, you can't get the kids to take the trash out, much less try to babysit or cook. You have to ask them 20 times. Didn't I tell you to take the trash out? It's like, but when we were growing up, we were latchkey kids. We knew what to do. You had a routine. You come home, you might be able to get a snack before you do anything. Wash your hands, get your chores done, get that homework done. Don't turn on the TV, and you better not have nobody in the house until we.
Exactly.
And then you could go outside, but you better be back in before the street lights come on.
Yep.
So those were the good old days. Now, the kids, parents are taking them back and forth to school. They have no independence. They don't know how to, go get on the bus or go walk by themselves. When they get to school, they're having mass shooting drills. Most we had was an earthquake drill. It's a lot different when they come home. They're right into the device. They don't even have a conversation. What do you see as the parallels and the differences between you as a parent, the oldest sibling and your grandchildren? Isn't it a stark difference?
It is. It's very different. Even one of the things that I notice the most is, with both my kids, they decided to do homeschooling and instead of the public schools. So that in itself was very different. And they just have different ideas when it comes to discipline as well. There isn't any.
I know it's that kindler, gentler parenting. The heck with that noise. If you show out in the store, I'm gonna show out with you.
Yep.
I'm gonna just stand there or just push the cart like I don't even know you. Be way up in front. I'm not gonna tolerate that. And there's no consequences. They don't
Yeah.
teach their kids consequences anymore.
No. And that's the thing. And the biggest thing that I've noticed too is respect. The kids today, and I'm not saying all of them, because there's some good kids out there, but the kids don't respect the parents. And the kids almost walk over the parents. And it's like, there's no way. I mean, we didn't sass back. We did not talk back to our parents. We knew if we did, we got a switch. In fact, my grandpa would say, go get the switch.
I
And
know. Ain't that was so cruel. That was so cruel. You didn't want it too thin because it would cut you. You didn't want it too thick. But how do you make me pick my own poison? That's awful.
Yep. And if you got it too big, he went back out and got a thinner one. So
Wow. Corporal punishment, I'm not a proponent. I think maybe I've had to tap my daughter's rump maybe three good times. And in my life, I probably as a child got it three or four real good times. But them three or four good times got my mind right. I ain't have to do it no more. And you
Yep.
hate to set up fear because fear should not coincide with parenting or discipline. But sometimes you're not listening to what I'm saying. And I keep telling you, and we went through the consequences and we went to the timeout and all that kind of stuff. Sometimes I just have to tap them thighs one or two times, and that'll get your mind right.
Yep. Oh yeah. And I mean, we didn't think anything of it, and parents then didn't think anything of it either. And you knew if you were waiting until your dad got home, you knew you were in deep, deep,
Right,
deep,
right, right.
you never did it again either. You learned from it. And you knew even before you got the punishment that you were in trouble. You knew what you did.
Right. But the thing about it is, too, is when I got disciplined after I got, could catch my breath and stopped all the panting and all the theatrics, my mother would have a conversation with me. She would say, okay, do you understand that you pushed me to this point? Do you understand? And, what is it that that you didn't understand that you need to do better? Don't lie to me. That was one thing my mother could not stand, a liar. She said, I don't care what you do. You could kill somebody, but you got to tell the truth. That doesn't mean you don't have responsibility for your actions. But parents now aren't even demanding respect. And you have to demand respect and demand excellence from these kids. You fail to realize that they're going to be independent contributors to society. They can't go in there and sass their boss. Well, they do. Some of these millennials are going and say, oh, I didn't come to work because I was drunk or I was high, coming in smelling like marijuana. Look like they, so disheveled they haven't taken care of themselves. And that's not all of them. But we have to draw the line somewhere. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, absolutely agree. And they come in with the attitude of entitlement.
Yes. Well,
And
we set them up
it's
now.
like you're not entitled to anything. You work for it. I remember picking cotton as a kid, and that was hard work. But you did hard work, and you knew that you were rewarded because you did that hard work. And they don't get that today.
Well, we set them up for that because, we wanted our kids to have it a little easier than what we had, and we created monsters, entitlement. I had a situation a while back with my daughter, and she goes, well, I didn't think it was going to be a problem because it's always been that way. Really? Newsflash. I said, okay, well, it won't be that way no more. How about that? So the other day, she owed me some money. She gave me the money, but she gave me $20 less than what it was supposed to be. And I said, well, I can count. I said, this is $20 short. Yeah, I had to do this, that, and the other. I said, okay. So a couple days go by, I didn't get the 20. I didn't get the 20. Yesterday, she came up on some money. I said, oh, I need that $20. And her eyes kind of bucked. You pay your responsibility. If I loan you something, I want my money back. If I give you something, that's something else. It's our vernacular. It's how we talk to them. It is the level of expectation that we set from the get-go. But we also have to tell them the other side of life. And that is, it's not always going to be easy. And grief is going to come. You're going to lose a pet. You're going to lose your job. You're going to lose a spouse. You're going to even lose your self-respect. How do you talk to your grandchildren and your children about grief? Because, that was a deep part of your experience as well.
Yeah, and it's something that honestly, April, I had to learn. I stuffed my grief for 3 decades. And I didn't face it because I was raising my daughter and my son. Even though I had lost a son, he was 2.5 months old, and my other two were 2 and 4. And so I was pretty young, and going through life itself, trying to deal with society and the judgment that is given when you're grief. It's like, oh, get over it. It's been 3 days. You should be fine. Go back to work and re-enter the workforce, and you're supposed to be who you were before you left. The problem is, you can't be.
No, you can't because the situation is not the same. And but it's an expectation that we have on ourselves, and how we process it. Everybody doesn't have the same relationship. When my mother transitioned, Debbie, it was beautiful. Because I gave her permission to go, she gave me permission to stay. I got to lay my chest on her chest and feel her last heartbeats. There was no secrets. There was no problems. We just loved each other. I played my singing bowls, and I could just see the atmosphere just opening up for the angels to come and receive them. Everybody doesn't have that situation. There's some anxiety, there's some hate, there's some lies, there's some abuse, all that kind of stuff too. But what we have to do is we have to learn to love on ourselves, and we have to tell our children the truth about life and death. Don't you agree?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I think, it also is to prepare them and, not hide from it. So many times, especially when you're a grieving parent, you want to protect those children. But at the same time, if you're not being honest with them and you're not taking them with or explaining some of what's happening, they picture it as a awful experience, if you will, because they don't understand. You haven't talked to them. You haven't shared the beauty part of grief. And instead, all they're seeing is the unknown and everybody's crying. So we have to
And
be real.
lying. Let me give you two scenarios. This was really kind of fascinating. Girlfriend of mine absolutely did not want to take her children. I think they were maybe, I don't know, anywhere between 6 and 8, 6 and 9. She didn't want to take them to the funeral. Oh no, they're gonna be traumatized and they're gonna see the body. Well, that was her own trauma. So when she finally took them to the service, that's just grandma laying there sleeping. Now the child is scared to close her eyes because she thinks she's going to be interned in this casing, and then they're going to put her down in the dirt and she's just sleeping. But I had another situation where I'm riding in the car with one of my girlfriends, and her kid is over there, and she goes, "Aunt April, Aunt April," she says, "look," she says, "my mom's over there." And I said, "Your mom's over there, your stepmom." And I said, "Well, what is she doing over there?" She says, "Oh, she's resting. She's resting with God. She'll be there forever." She says, "That's where you go when you die." She says, "But it's okay." She says, "Some people believe that they go to heaven." She says, "But she's over there resting." And I said, "Well, how does that make you feel?" "Well, it's a part of life, Aunt April. We're all going to be able to rest one day." And the conversation was so mature and it was so easy. It was like, wow.
Yeah, I mean, children have the ability to learn and to gather so much more than we give them credit for.
Absolutely.
And amazingly, they remember the good and the bad. And so if they go to a funeral and you don't talk about it, or you hide it, or you lie to them, and someone else down the road takes them to a funeral and shares with them that they're resting and they've gone to heaven, then here's this child like, well, which is it?
Who do I
They don't
believe?
know. Yeah. And so now they're traumatized themselves because they don't know which one it is.
I don't know. I was always taught, tell the truth and shame the devil. And if you explain something to a child, after you answer one or two questions, believe and trust, they on to something else. They're not thinking about what you're talking about no more.
Yes,
So let's
they're
flip
moving
the script.
on.
Exactly. Let's flip the script a little bit. Now, you came across something that was very fascinating, that there can possibly be, and not in all situations, but there could possibly have been some overage that you might be entitled to a reimbursement or foreclosures. Number one, how'd you find yourself in that space? Are you a realtor or is this something you just stumbled upon? Share with us.
Yeah, I just kind of stumbled upon it. I actually attended this seminar, and it was, looking at, are you owed money? You know how we've seen the unclaimed funds
I
and
would, girl, I done Googled my name and found some money, yeah, from the state tax assessor and one from a company that I hadn't worked for. So Google your name, brains.
Yeah, Google your name because you never know. But this is interesting because what it is When a house is foreclosed upon, taxes are paid. In some cases, taxes are owed, and that's why they're foreclosed upon. And so when someone loses their home, they're not thinking, oh, I could have money due to me. But what happens is these funds are held for a brief period of time. And so you may or may not have funds due to you, but if you get a call or you get a postcard saying, hey, you may have funds owed, I encourage you to check it out. Because what's happened is in the process of the foreclosure and the taxes being paid, there was an overage. And that goes to the government. And think about it. We don't want these governments to hold these funds. And what happens is if it goes into escheatment, and that's a big word, but it's basically the money is seized, it goes into the government, and now the government agency is keeping your money. And so you have these people out there that have lost their house that they could be owed thousands of dollars. So it's really the
Now,
best
okay,
way.
so let me, and each, again, brains, each individual circumstance is very different. But for the most part, let's just use the scenario of a person who has an impound account. And in that impound account, they, again, may have overage on, they might be short on their taxes, but they might be over on their insurance. Or there still might be money from, sitting in an escrow account for them. So it's always good checks and balances. I mean, you're here, you've unfortunately lost your property, and it could be, flood conditions in Texas. It could be fires here in California. It doesn't necessarily mean that you've defaulted, but you may have to have defaulted because you need to find alternative means and a residence for your family, but you still have these money there. So what would be a good way for a person to proactively investigate this? They may not get the postcard in the mail, and the government is good at holding your money. We'll just leave it at that, and seizing your things. And then again, you have to prove that they're wrong after they already have it. So where could they go and look? Would that be a tax assessor? Would it be their mortgage company?
The best place to start typically is their state governmental agency in the state where they lost the home. And a lot of times the mortgage company's not going to have it. And what happens so many times is if they had a foreclosure, that mortgage company now has sold off that asset. So that's not the best way. But the best way to start is at the government agency. You can also, there are public records that you can obtain for foreclosed properties. And to determine whether the taxes have been paid or not. And that would be the first place to start if you don't have, if you don't know if you've had something, or call me and I can check in your state.
So you have a nationwide database that you might be
Yes.
able to go in and check? Okay.
Yes.
That's huge. Now,
And
Brent.
we basically audit different government agencies throughout the country going through their public records to find the unclaimed funds belonging to these people.
Now, this is a very niche business. I don't think that you have a lot of competition. Or, is this a big industry that people are doing this, or?
There's quite a there's more people doing it now because they're finding out about it. And so it is very, it's more common than what it was, say, 5 years ago. And there are certain states where there tends to be more foreclosures, And so there's more properties. And you have to look at mortgage rates. And when interest rates go up, there's more foreclosures. And so that in turn ends up with more money being available or possibly available.
Wow. Now, Brains, know that this service is not FREE. It's not, because it's work, it's research. Do you help them once they find, or if they're eligible for these unclaimed funds, do you help walk them through the process of getting that back, or do you just provide them the information and they have to consult an attorney, or how does that work? That is the next step.
We will actually do the work for them. What we do is, let's say if your particular brain said, "Hey, I got this letter." So the first thing that we would do is determine, has it gone to escheatment yet? If it has not, then we will send you the documentations to sign, and we will actually do all the work for you. We will do the notary. We will go through the different agencies that are required. It typically takes a couple of months. And what we do is we ask for 40% of the collected monies. And that includes everything, all the hours that we put in. We typically will put in anywhere from 80 to 100 hours on one file.
Oh yeah, and easy. And then there's checks and balances. So know that a 60-40 split is not bad, considering that you didn't have it to begin with. And someone is doing the due diligence nationwide, not just in your local county or city, but they have a nationwide database. Because once you with one mortgage company, they sell it off, you don't necessarily know who they sold it off to.
Correct.
So there's a lot of trickery in their brains, and the interest rates. We don't even want to talk about interest rates. Oh my goodness. I don't know how in the world people are living these days, or how they're purchasing property, especially here in California. One bedroom apartment is $1,800. It is absolutely ridiculous. They want us to all live in squalor. I don't know what they want to do, and then they don't want to pay a decent wage. They're in Texas. Is there, because Texas, anytime there's a recession or there's a problem, it don't seem like it really impacts them Texans. It seems like y'all got some extra money down there somewhere. But in your area, are the interest rates, those are universal. I mean, those are nationwide, but are they really impactful? Are people able to buy it? And are you in real estate at all?
No, I have been in property management before, and so I've been in the real estate arena, but doing this, of course, I've gotten more involved with the real estate agents because we help them and we can basically help each other. But it has affected Texas too, and it has honestly, it's affected states all over. In fact, because California is so high, you've got people moving from California into Texas and Oklahoma and Arkansas because it's cheaper to live. So it has created more impact. And then what happens is when the interest rate goes up, and all of a sudden they can't make the house payment or they lose their job, then they go into foreclosure. So we actually have more foreclosures in the last couple of years than we did during the pandemic.
And I again, you're not a tax attorney, you're not a realtor, but just from your experience and your vantage point, when a person goes into foreclosure, they think that that's the end. They don't think that they're ever going to be able to rent an apartment, that they're ever going to purchase a property, but that's not necessarily the case. A lot of times, banks would like to see the fact that you have closed off that debt, however that is, you settled it, filed bankruptcy, whatever the situation may be, so that now that frees you up to negotiate and reestablish yourself. Have you found that to be the case?
And that is the case. And, people will ask the question of, is it legit? And what I will tell you is yes. In fact, all of the documents that are sent to the homeowner who has lost their property is notarized. We have notaries that are all over the United States, and they will come to you to sign the documents, and then they are sent to the particular state and entity on your behalf. So everything is legal. We have a staff of attorneys, on premise who actually work with this as well. And so it's all a legitimate process. It's just a very long process.
Well, yeah, because you've got a check and balance. And also, too, you didn't mention this. You've got to work with the mortgage company to make sure that they want to settle the debt. Sometimes they figure holding the paper might be more advantageous. Other times they say, you know what? We've been dealing with Joe and Bob, and everybody in this area of Louisiana has been flooded out. Let's just go ahead and give them the money and just get it off the books. So you got to have that leverage, brains. And this is a language that we don't know. We don't all know. Ignorance is nine tenths of the law. Ignorance doesn't mean that you're stupid. Ignorant means you just don't know. So you want to work with a trusted professional that has been in the trenches, like Debbie Lynn and her partners, that know what they're doing, that have gone through this paperwork a gazillion times. They know the right questions to ask. They have the database to go in and retrieve the information that you need, be it expeditiously. I think that it's fair and equitable what they charge for the work that they do, considering you didn't think that you had a leg to stand on to begin with. So thank you so much for that, Debbie. Now let's ask you some fun facts before we close. All right. So I see, that you like a lot of color. I like that ombre going on up under the hair. That's you're making a statement there. If you would have a conversation with your 25-year-old self, Debbie Lynn, what would you say?
Would definitely say each day is a gift, and you have to live it and make the most of it. And realize that there's so much beauty out in the world for us to take in and to breathe in every day. And, I want to smile and, give. There's so much to give.
So just enjoy every moment. If you were an appliance in the kitchen, what appliance would you be?
That's a good one, and I don't know how to answer it. I don't know. I think right now the only thing I can think of is the air fryer because
No.
it's quick and I can get moving to where I want to go next.
Exactly, but you know what?
I'm always moving.
It takes a little bit of grease. It's still crunchy. I like that. I like that. I like today. I think I'm going to be the coffee pot. I'll be the coffee pot because it's hot, it's steamy, it's warm, it's got a beautiful aroma. And it gets you stimulated. It gets you going. So I like to be the coffee pot. If you were a flower in the garden, Debbie Lynn, what flower would you be?
I love the birds of paradise.
Oh, I do too.
They're absolutely beautiful. And just, the symbolism that they represent, I love the birds of paradise.
Yeah, I have a bunch in my yard, so I always cut so I have to have fresh flowers every week in my house. That's just makes me happy. So sometime I'll cut them from my garden, or sometime I'll go over to the local grocer or the flea market, and do that. What do you do for fun or recreation? when you're not with those grandkids.
For the most of the fun I have is I do some different fairs and stuff with my skincare line, and I love architecture and photography. So I like to get in my Miata when it's nice out, put the top down, and take off.
Well, tell us a little bit about your skincare line.
Well, we it's with Urban Retreat, and we have been around for 8 years, and all of the products are manufactured in France. And what got me there is because I was looking for something because I have very sensitive skin, and everything I used, makeup wise, would break me out. And so I was looking for something that I could use that didn't break me out. And I was also looking for something at the time to kind of help balance out my stomach. And so that's how I got started. It's a great line. I have no makeup on right now, except
I
for a little
know,
bit
and
of
your, I was
lipstick.
going to say, your skin is flawless. It
Thank
looks
you.
great.
And I'm 66.
Wow.
So, you know, this it's just when we take care of our skin young, we can remain looking young. And it's so important, you know, to take care of our skin every single day. And I love the fact that they're European standards, which are much higher than the US. And so the products are absolutely incredible and affordable. And that's what I love the most about it. And I mean, I can go someplace and it sells itself because I'm a product of the product.
Well, again, you have to live it. You absolutely have to live it. Back to the fun questions. If you were an animal, what animal would you be?
A tiger.
Ooh, why?
Just because it's a beautiful animal and they have the great spiritual, to me, symbolism, and just the idea that I'm strong and stable.
That's beautiful. I'd be the party animal.
That
I'd be that girl. If you could time travel, past, present, or future, what would you land?
in the 50s,
In the 50s? Why in the 50s?
because I was born then.
Okay. All right.
Because it was a great time in the United States. When you go back into that decade, there were so many things that I treasure in life that if we encompass today, I feel like it would be a different place in time. I'm not saying that everything about the 50s was good, but a lot of the values of the 50s was so much better than today.
Oh, well, I mean, there's just, you know, this is just a full-on shit show. From the politrickery, and I don't care what side of the spectrum, they're both liars,
Yes.
manipulators, and cheaters. And the sycophants, the people that just go along to get along, just whatever, you know, I'm just going along with the crowd. There's no critical thinking.
Yeah.
There's no responsibility, no accountability, risk versus reward. It's just, you know, like I said, it's just a shit show. But
Yeah.
we have to navigate through that the best way that we can. We have to manage our grief. We've got to work with our children. We've got to look at our finance. Just because something detrimental has happened to you does not mean that it is over. That just gives you an opportunity because when God set you back, He said, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so you just have to forge ahead. Debbie, you've been such a great conversationalist. I appreciate you sharing your wisdom on parenting, as well as your great advice with foreclosure fund recoveries. Tell us a little bit more about how we can get in contact with you if someone has a consultation that they'd like to do with you about those funds. How do they get in contact with you?
Refundoverpaymentexperts.com.
One more time.
Refundoverpaymentexperts.com.
All right, brains. I'm gonna put that at the back of the interview. Debbie, you have just been so much fun, you beautiful bird of paradise. And I wish you all the best for you and your grandchildren. And you're a hottie because you're an air fryer.
Thank you.
All right. Brains, handle your business. Do your due diligence. Go back, look at your records, look at them. Don't be afraid of them. They're only pieces of paper with valuable information. If you look at things, you'll be able to address them. You never know what you don't know. If you don't get anything back, at least you can have a good conversation on how to be set up for your next purchase, a property or whatever. If you're going through grief, don't worry about it. You're not by yourself. And believe and trust, if you drive, everybody gonna get a turn at the wheel.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. My brains, go in, like, love, share, and subscribe right now. Like, love, share, and subscribe. Thank you, Debbie. You're the best.
Thank you, April.
All right. Bye, brains.